And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Man, just making common sense like a superpower. Coming up top of the hour, which will be the beginning of the next hour, we're going to have the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson, so stand by for that one. Breaking news just came across the screen as we're sitting here watching it, saying that the House has now just passed the budget blueprint in a 216 to 215 party line vote, meaning that the Trump budget blueprint appears to be past its procedural hurdles, and we could see the big, beautiful bill actually get passed like any time now. And that would be amazing. If it does, I believe that's the one that contains the extension of the Trump tax cuts and also, does more for border security and national security, all of it. More to come on that. As we see it, we'll talk about it. Let me get a few text messages real quick. Tom with all the kids in Huntsville is giving me a text that I'll have to look at. I can't do that. He's giving me something to ping Dale Jackson on. I can't do that. But then he also says, why can't we separate medical insurance from employment like auto insurance? You know, I think because it's so expensive, Tom, to be honest with you. I think you can. You can actually you can buy your own policy. That's what he was saying these farmers are putting up with, is they're having to pay an individual premium that's not part of a group. And so they're not protected by premium increases as a group. And they're trying to get into that spot. John from Decatur says, so who pays the medical bills of the child's under 18 and the parents don't consent to the medical procedure? Exactly. Thank you. Point well made. The dollar signs will still flow back to the parent or legal guardian, even though the child gave consent.
You tell me the child can't go break his piggy bank and then pay for a gender change surgery?
Well, I just have to advise you.
Yeah.
That no, it's not likely. Lynn from Knoxville, Tennessee says, as a nurse with a wife who is a pediatric nurse, yes, I did, and it's created a lot of problems. Yes, I did what?
He's talking about he knew that the consent age was 14.
Ah, okay. Yeah, as a nurse with a wife who's a pediatric nurse, yes, I did. It's created a lot of problems for us, walking a fine line with parents who should have the right to know. Okay, there you go. Bruce from Springville says, if Blue Cross Blue Shield attempts to prevent Alpha from doing business in Alabama with medical, wouldn't that be a violation of the Sherman Antitrust Act of 1890? I don't know, because I think Sherman is an interstate as opposed to a inside the state. This may be different because Sherman Antitrust may actually operate at the federal level across state lines, and this may not be that. So I'm not sure, Bruce, to answer your question. Herb from Gurley, Alabama says, my insurance company forces me to order maintenance medicines from a certain large pharmacy chain. This puts smaller mom-and-pop pharmacies at a disadvantage, even though at least two small pharmacies are very near my home. I think part of that is what we're dealing with right now. And yes, I've seen the same thing. In fact, what's very frustrating right now is Walgreens has decided to centralize their control, basically moves it to Tennessee. Why? Because they weren't dealing with PBMs in Alabama. So hopefully this is going to make things better if they can get this thing passed. Well, they did pass it. I'm sorry. Get it signed by the governor. All right, let me jump on the next dipper. We got a little time for the top of the hour. The big, beautiful energy. So listen, stocks right now are going through the roof. President Trump has suspended tariffs on those countries that are willing to negotiate. He is showing that the art of the deal is alive and well. But what he's also doing is he's working on a whole separate issue, because if you notice, he can multitask. Have you noticed his administration can multitask?
Just a little bit,
I'm not sure they sleep right now in the Trump administration. I think they decided they'll sleep in 4 years.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you get a bunch of people that have their own lane and they're all type A, hyperactive, you know, actually getting stuff done. This is the result of that.
Like, sleep is highly overrated in the Trump administration. Well, Trump issued an executive order yesterday that I thought was interesting. He had a major event at the White House with representatives of the coal industry standing all around him as he announced that he is going to be enhancing the ability of coal to become a factor again. But he also did this. He issued an executive order. I've got a copy of it. Whitehouse.gov has it. Dateline yesterday. He says, my administration is committed to unleashing American energy. The removal of all illegitimate impediments to the identification, development, siting, production, investment in, or use of domestic energy resources. And he names them as oil, natural gas, coal, hydropower, geothermal, critical, and nuclear. He's basically saying, all you states out there, stop getting in the way. He says this, he says, I highlighted this one, Americans are better off when the United States is energy dominant. And that's true. We're not importing, we're not reliant, we're not subject to the whims of foreign nations, and we're also not spending massive amounts of our own tax dollars to subsidize a portion of the energy sector that can't be self-sufficient, aka wind and solar. Wind and solar works. It does generate electricity. I get that. Wind and solar is also typically not able to sustain itself in the market. And it's not like coal and nuclear is trying to drive it out. What we're seeing is that without government subsidies, wind and solar is typically not viable. It's cost prohibitive. It doesn't produce to the level that the investment requires to establish the infrastructure. Well, Trump points out many states, and he names some of them, New York, Vermont, California, many states have enacted or are in the process of enacting burdensome and ideologically motivated climate change policies that threaten American energy dominance. And so the point of all this is, and this is awesome, by the way, think about where we just come from and where we are now. But Trump just issued this executive order requiring his attorney general, Pam Bondi, to prioritize the identification of state laws that purport to address climate change or environmental, social, and ESG initiatives, environmental justice, or greenhouse gas emission regulations, and take all appropriate action to stop the enforcement of those state laws. What he basically said was, if you're a state that is impeding the ability of our energy dominance, not allowing for an all-of-the-above policy because you've got ideologues in control of your laws related to utilities, then guess what? We're coming for you. Because we're not going to let California drive up Alabama and Tennessee's rates. We're not going to let New York State drive up what happens in Florida. We're not. Trump said we're going to be an energy-dominant nation. Now, think about where we've come from. JP, I'm going to call up audio one here momentarily. This is the Biden audio. This is just a few years ago. Former President Joe Biden, I love saying former. Did I say that? Former President Joe Biden was asked directly about the idea of coal being a viable source of energy. Here's his response.
So what do you do besides rejoin Paris and restore emissions standards?
Fundamentally change the way in which we approach things. For example, we're going to make sure that we have doubling immediately the wind and solar power. We're going to make sure, by the way, I'm the only guy that's done anything. I went in the Recovery Act, we provided $100 million reducing the cost of making sun and wind and solar competitive with the price of coal. No one's going to build another coal plant in America because of the work we did in our administration.
All right, stop. So, first of all, two things there. He's looking at crushing one industry, which this nation was built on. And I get it. You know, over time, things change and you have a transition from one thing to another. Think about it. We don't have horse-drawn carriages anymore. We have cars. The market changed. We don't have phones only on the kitchen wall of the house. We have phones in our pocket. Things change. We're not at that point right now. But he tried to force the point. He literally said, as president of the United States, he was going to make wind and solar competitive on par with coal. And oh, by the way, no one's going to build a coal plant anymore. He's crushing one industry in favor of another, which did nothing for the American people except spend your tax dollars to prop up a portion of the energy sector that is not self-sufficient. Wind and solar works, but wind and solar is not self-sufficient, and it's going to have to get that way.
By the way, I'm just so glad I don't have to hear that rambling anymore.
Oh my God.
Every day.
I thought the same thing. As his voice was in my ears right now, I thought, oh man, I have not missed that.
Nope.
Not a bit. All right, let's switch gears. Trump has an entirely different energy policy. You just heard the previous president, or at least when he was awake. You just heard the previous president, maybe even when he's not awake. I mean, just I don't know, or was awake. The previous president saying he was going to crush certain sectors of the industry and no one's going to want to build a coal plant and we're going to subsidize, you know, wind and solar. I'm going to call up 2A. All right. If you got it. Okay. You saw how I stacked those to you. Okay. This is Trump speaking on a broad energy policy. Go for it.
We will develop the liquid goal that is right under our feet, including American oil and natural gas. And we will also embrace nuclear, clean coal, hydropower, which is fantastic, and every other form of affordable energy to get it done. We will not only match China, we will be cheaper than China by a lot. And more energy will mean lower inflation. It'll mean more jobs. I will cancel Biden's ruinous power plant rule, terminate his electric vehicle mandate. If you want to buy an electric car, that's fine, but you're going to be able to buy every other form of car also. And unleash domestic energy production like never before.
That's what an amazing difference. Elections have consequences, don't they? So you're looking at right now, Trump brought the members of the coal industry into the White House. And they had a good time, by the way. He was cracking them up. And he was also making them feel welcome. They were no longer the ostracized, redheaded stepchild. They were welcome to the White House. Coal's not been welcome in the White House for a few years. But he literally signed an executive order yesterday that said, we will reinvigorate America's beautiful, clean coal industry. We will lift Biden-era restrictions on coal plants. We will strengthen the reliability and security of the electric grid by adding more coal. And we'll protect American energy from overreach by radical leftists in the states. My gosh, what a difference. Now, when he signed that executive order, and I'm going to go ahead. How much time do we have? How long is that that next video? Do you know?
I mean, it's about 4 minutes, but Ooh. You can pick where you want to play it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's do this. We'll wind up playing that one, if at all, after the break. But Trump signed that executive order on coal while the miners in their hard hats stood there in the White House and cheered. And then, got selfies and slapped each other on the back and had a good time. What they're saying is we're going to grow this. And when I get back, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When I get back from this break, I'm going to tell you what NPR had to say. Phil, did you go to NPR? I did. I go to these places so you don't have to. But NPR, they got their spin on where we are right now. You can only imagine. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Big, beautiful energy. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. So that piece I had from Red State that I referred to a while ago, I didn't say the date. It was dated yesterday. Headline was Miners Cheer, that's coal miners. Coal miners cheer as Trump signs an order to bring back energy dominance and has them laughing at his remarks on Biden. So he was in a friendly audience, let's put it that way. Basically, he enabled all these things he's going to be doing to try and assist coal to get back on where it has been suppressed from. Because that's the other thing. The Biden administration loved the idea of subsidizing a portion of the market and propping it up. At the same time, they did just the opposite with coal, natural gas, by suppressing them on the market. So whereas people want coal, they couldn't get it. Whereas people want to build more coal-fired plants, they couldn't do it. As they wanted to mine more coal, they couldn't get it. They were regulated into oblivion. Well, it says in the article, Trump's new actions were embraced by coal miners, and I guess so. And he also praised them and took jabs at Biden. At one point, he said, for 4 years, Joe Biden tried to abolish the coal mining industry. They did everything in their power while he was awake, which wasn't much, shutting down dozens of coal plants. By the way, one of the things that I've come to understand is that there's real concern about our power grid because the advancements in AI require these server farms that are so massive, they draw so much energy that the grid can be affected negatively unless you've got plenty of additional generation capacity. And so you got to have an all of the above policy because we'll never get there on wind and solar. And even the left doesn't want to, but they'll admit that. Piece here from NPR. Phil, did you go to NPR? I did. NPR. But NPR has a piece that came out just in the last couple of weeks. Starts off with this. Despite the Trump administration's wide-ranging attacks on renewables, there's an attack on ridiculous big government policies that prop up a portion of the market that is not independently viable. That's what there's attacks on. Despite the Trump administration's wide-ranging attacks on renewables, like wind and solar, the clean energy industry is still on pace for record growth this year. Okay, what's your point? Did you catch that? Well, Trump's trying real hard to beat them up, but, you know, they're going to grow anyway. The real byline here is there's still growth.
Which means they don't need the government's help.
Apparently not. Although they may still be spending money from the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah.
Says the build-out of big solar and battery plants expected to hit an all-time high in 2025, accounting for 81% of all new power generation. Well, first of all, it's 81% of new power generation because other power generation was not allowed to take place. Whereas Biden was shutting down coal plants, they were propping up and subsidizing the construction of wind farms and solar farms. But then NPR comes back to reality. Isn't that amazing how that happens? Saying this in the third paragraph of this multi-page article that I've got. Says the U.S. needs all the power it can get. Oh, well, there's an admission. You think? The U.S. needs all the power it can get because electricity demand is surging. Pray tell, why is electricity demand surging? Perhaps it's possible the economy's on the uptick. Industry is looking at, you know, growth. We're talking about people buying houses. We're talking about all kinds of things. Oh, my goodness. Do you mean to say that electricity demand is surging? Listen, in a down economy, you don't have the surge in utilities. A surge in utilities is typically accompanied, aside from seasonal changes, like when you switch to gas for heat or something like that. But a surge in utilities usage, demand, if you will, is typically a sign of a growing economy, not a flagging economy. People don't burn more of their utilities when things are bad. So the article points out, we're looking at the kickstarting then of nuclear, geothermal, natural gas, and the delayed retirement of old coal plants. What did I just say a moment ago? Shabam! That's the WhiteHouse.gov that I've got over here, the executive order from yesterday. What did he say? Oh, by the way, he said investment in or use of domestic energy resources like oil, natural gas, coal, hydropower, geothermal, nuclear. It's as if NPR saw this in advance. You know what it really is? Trump said we were returning to the era of common sense to include our energy sector. If NPR can see it themselves and finally have to admit it, guess what? It's just common sense. It's big, beautiful energy, baby. Drill, baby, drill. Dig, baby, dig. All of the above. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, The Grand Council with Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.